you very much to Stuart Hosey. I'd just like to invite George Robertson to make the case against the motion.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you all for coming here today. I understand that this is the first day of teaching in your course, so I wish you well in the studying that will be ahead of you. It'll be a tough grind, no doubt. But it opens your mind, it opens your futures very much. And this university, which in my day, as well as in Stuart Hosey's day, was the Technical College, Bell Street Tech, now a full university, with its own great reputation, it's a good place for you to be. It was, I have to tell you, 50 years ago, next year, that I came to Dundee as a student. I lived in Diggs, just up at the top of Constitution Road, and I well remember what it was like to be in first year as a student in Dundee. I thought Dundee was a great place. I graduated in 1968, my wife, who previously worked in this college, comes from Dundee. And it was a rich student experience, I must say, that I had. And I still have great memories of the time that I was here. I believe passionately that this debate that is now going to take place over the next year, and in which you will have a vote, is really more than just about a vote on the 18th of September next year. It's about the future of this country, your future, and your children's future, and your children's children's future. You'll have a vote, and you're not just voting for yourself, you're voting for future generations. So it is an immense responsibility that is in your hands. There won't be any going back if people vote to make Scotland an independent nation state, a separate state. There won't be any going back from it. 51-49 is can be a vote that will determine the rest of your life and of your future generations as well. So bear that in mind, that we're not simply talking about the economy of today or the government, Scottish or national government of today. Whatever their benefits, whatever their attributes, however much you feel strongly about it, you're talking about the constitution of your country and whether we become a separate state and we break up the United Kingdom as we actually know it. Now, I want to say it right at the very beginning, because Stuart eloquently has given you the case for breaking up the United Kingdom. But he's done it on the basis of a number of assertions that I don't accept. You know, I am a proud and patriotic Scot. For 4 years, I was the Shadow Secretary of State for Scotland. The leader of the Scottish Labour Party. And during my 4 years, we put together the component parts of what was to be the Scottish Parliament, the first Parliament in Scotland for 300 years. There's nobody who can accuse me of being anti-Scottish or not being patriotic enough. And Stuart Hosey, who I know is a decent man and represents constituents in this great city of Dundee, says he's going to be temperate in his language and won't use some of the words that have been used. Well, I've had some rough times in my political life, which started at the age of 15, actually in the SNP, would you believe, for a year. And one of the current members of the Scottish Cabinet once called me a Quisling. The guy called Quisling was a Nazi traitor in Norway during the war, Lord Haw-Haw, who broadcast to the British people on behalf of the Nazis at that time. And that member, current member of the Scottish Cabinet, has not in any way apologised to me for what he said at the time, although I believe that he regrets it now. But I believe that we need to argue this case on the basis of fact, not on the basis of assertions. I don't believe that Scotland is too small. I don't believe that Scotland is too weak. I don't believe that Scotland is welfare dependent. I've seen countries, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Slovenia, Slovakia, Montenegro, Serbia, countries that have all become, in the last few years, independent nation states. If they can survive, of course my country can survive. Of course, we've got the economic vitality, and we've got the people, and we've got the resources. But why do we want to make a separate nation state at this point. The case that has been made, you will hear, is that actually our economy is stronger than most of the United Kingdom, and indeed it is. Recent surveys have shown that this Scotland of ours is actually the second richest part of the United Kingdom after the southeast of England. That's inside the United Kingdom, not as a separate state. So I don't take any of these assertions at face value, but I believe that the argument can be made for a better Scotland once we've got rid of this preoccupation with the separatism that the present government is obsessed with. I want the Scottish Parliament to focus its mind on education. I want them to look at how our education is going to be fitted for the 21st century, how you and your children will get the skills that will actually go on and take you through into the difficulties and challenges of the world that's ahead. I want a better health system. A couple of weeks ago, we found out that there were a record number of complaints against the NHS in Scotland. That's a devolved matter, and I want more attention to be paid to that. I want more attention paid to transport. At the weekend, I was in the Western Isles, one of the remotest parts of the United Kingdom. I want those areas, and like my native island of Islay, to be given a bit more attention than they get at the present moment. I want to see successful agriculture. That's what I studied when I was at university in Dundee. I want to see a fairer legal system, and I want to see a better and improved local government system that works and works for the people of Scotland. All of these areas are in the province of the Scottish Parliament, but yet we're obsessed and we seem consumed at the moment solely and simply with this constitutional issue. There are huge issues out there that you will have to face in this world. An aging population with a diminishing workforce. The mixture between the private and the public sector. Incentives for people to grow companies and entrepreneurships. How are we going to give people the skills and the talent that will fit them to deal with emerging markets? These are all big issues that will affect you and the future generations on whose behalf you're going to make a decision, an irrevocable decision, on the 18th of September next year. So I resent those of us who say don't break up Britain, being called anti-Scottish, as I have been. Every time we ask a question, we're told we're talking down Scotland. I think that's wrong, and it's unfair. It's not anti-Scottish to keep the country that we know together and working together and not fragmented. It's not anti-Scottish to see the waste involved in creating new embassies and new ministries, the Ministry of Defence, new social security institutions, as well as the DVLA, the BBC, the CAA, a whole host of organisations that will have to be created. It's not anti-Scottish to highlight the transition cost, the huge transition cost of going from being part of the United Kingdom to being a separate state with stamps and uniforms and anthems and all of the rest of these things that would have to come with separation. It's not anti-Scottish to ask the basic question about what currency would we have in an independent Scotland. 10 years ago, the leader of the SNP said that sterling was a millstone round Scotland's neck. But now he wants a fiscal union, with the Bank of England taking the decisions on behalf of the independent Scottish state. But of course, in between, he was in favour of the euro. When I debated with him in 1996, he said the euro was the way through. That was the way in which Scotland would go, but suddenly, after the Eurozone crisis, it's not there. So we don't know whether it'll be a currency union that would depend on the rest of the UK agreeing, or whether the pound would be used unilaterally, or whether it would be the euro that we would be obliged to sign up to. And some people say if we were to be part of the European Union, or whether it would be a separate Scottish currency. A fundamental issue. And we don't know the answer to it. It's not anti-Scottish to ask about the thousands of Scottish jobs that are the Scottish people employed in, for instance, the defence industry, when most of the market is going to be down south. Hundreds of thousands of jobs involved in financial services, when we would have to have a separate financial services regime applying in different parts of the United Kingdom. It's not anti-Scottish to ask whether we would automatically be in the European Union, as is sometimes asserted, because practically everybody in the European Union says no. A new separate state would have to apply for membership. And the SNP say we would have to negotiate anyway because we want better terms. But a negotiation implies gains and losses. What would we lose? The British rebate? Perhaps our fishing limits? What would we gain in the process of these negotiations? We don't know, and we won't know until after you've cast your vote on the 18th of September next year. It's not anti-Scottish. Indeed, it's quite patriotic to ask whether Scotland would be a member of NATO, the organisation. I, as a Scot, led for 4 years. The Self-Defence Alliance, the pillar, the cornerstone of our security and that of 25 other nations in Europe, when it's been made clear by the SNP that Trident would go, the British Independent Nuclear Deterrent would go, which is part and parcel of NATO's policy, irrespective. So they make that a condition of membership, knowing that the condition would not be acceptable to the other members. And of course, it's not anti-Scottish to ask about pensions. That's in the distance from you, but not of your parents, and certainly not of your grandparents. And that's the big issue that's being talked about today, because they've made a promise, it would appear, that the retirement age will not go up to 67 in 2026, remember, in an independent Scotland. Another uncosted promise that's been made in the run-up to this referendum campaign. And frankly, you know, you're going to hear a lot more of these promises. There is no doubt at all about that. So why should we create an independent Scottish state? We're not a colony. most of the countries that have become independent since the war were colonies, were not oppressed. Nobody believes that we're oppressed. I'm sure there are people here from other countries other than Scotland here. Scotland's not oppressed inside the United Kingdom. We're not discriminated against. If you turn on your radio in the morning, you get the voice of Jim Naughty. If you're interested in current affairs, you go to bed listening to Kirsty Wark on Newsnight. Every Sunday morning, the main starting point for the week, you've got Andrew Marr, who came from Invergowrie, just outside of Dundee. There are Scots at every level of government and public and private sector in the United Kingdom, all of them. Few of them perhaps going to have a vote in this referendum, but all of them proud Scots who've never been held back by the fact that they were Scots inside the United Kingdom. We're not disadvantaged inside the United Kingdom for whatever statistics we hear. We hear from the nationalists. Actually, what Stuart said was Scotland's economy is actually doing quite well. Lowest level of youth unemployment, you said. Your highest level of employment. We're the richest part of the United Kingdom outside of the Southeast, and we're in the United Kingdom, so we're not being disadvantaged by being part of a single market, part of a single country. And that's really worth your bearing in mind when it comes to any decision that you take. There's no linguistic differentiation, there's no great cultural discrimination that might argue for it, like it does in some other countries, you know. In Flanders and Belgium, they say, why can't we become an independent state? Or Catalonia and Spain, where 1.25 million people marched in the streets. They say they want to become an independent state, but they've got language and culture and all these sort of things. We don't have any of that, and we've got, in addition, in Scotland, a parliament of our own handling all those domestic arrangements that matter to us and to the people of Scotland. Education from nurseries to universities, health, housing, local government, transport, tourism, agriculture, fisheries, and more. And indeed, next year, under the Calman reforms, more powers will come to the Scottish Parliament. And not only that, we'll have power over income tax, a big chunk of income tax and stamp duty, and extra powers to legislate in areas like the licensing of air guns. The Scottish Parliament, after the Calman reforms come in, will raise 30% of its own revenue in Scotland. All of these things have happened as well. Now, Stuart and the Nationalists keep going on, and you'll hear it relentlessly repeated that we wouldn't get the government we want, that we don't get the government that we voted for. And that's perfectly true, because the votes are spread throughout the United Kingdom. It's not always true. The English sometimes resent the fact that they get governments based on Scottish members of Parliament. But bear this in mind. At the last election, Stuart's party got 45% of the vote in the Scottish Parliament elections. Only 50.1%, a whisker more than half the Scottish electorate, voted in these elections. So that means that 23% of the Scottish people voted for the SNP. Only 23% of those eligible to vote in Scotland voted for the SNP. And if you actually take the ones who voted, 55% of us who voted in the Scottish Parliament elections didn't get the government we wanted. We got an SNP government, but more than half the Scottish people didn't get the government that they chose. Now, that's the way the electoral system works. I helped to construct the electoral system for the Scottish Parliament, so I least of all can complain about it. That's the way it works. But let nobody tell you that we've got the government that the overwhelming majority of the Scottish people voted for. So when you come to cast your vote on the 18th of September next year, I hope you will spend your time interrogating those who say it's a simple, easy step for Scotland to go from part of the United Kingdom to being an independent nation state. It's not risk-free. It's not going to be easy, and it certainly isn't going to be cheap. But the decision at the end of the day will be yours. Ask the questions. By all means, take a sober decision. And remember all the time that you're not just deciding for yourself, you're deciding for the future as well. Thank you very much for your attention.